Hey, we're on a series of lessons on Sunday morning called Blessed. Hope you're getting something out of it. I'm enjoying teaching it and studying and receiving some more insight from the Word of God myself. We've been looking at this key person and couple really in the Old Testament called Abram or Abraham. We'll call him Abraham all day. He got a name change from Abram to Abraham when he was about 99 or so. And we've been talking about them. They've been our litmus test. They've been our the people we were looking at with skin on, if you will, because the Bible calls Abraham the father of faith. That's what it calls him, the father of faith. In other words, what God did with this guy, God will do with you. We'll rectify that in just a minute and give you this scripture again. But we said that God chose this guy called Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, kind of out of the blue. We know that God chose him, predestined him, ordained him to be the father of faith. He cooperated with it. And we see the outworking of that through many, many of the chapters of Genesis. We see it working in his son Isaac, his grandson Jacob, and his great-grandson Joseph on how God worked this thing called the blessing and blessed him in his life, and it just kept working. We said three things from Genesis chapter 12 that God told Abraham, and God's speaking to us even again today. He said, number one, I will show you where to go. I will show you where to go. He tells him that. Number two, he says, I will make you into something you're not. I'll make you into something you're not. And number three, he says, I will bless you to be a blessing. I will bless you to be a blessing. Now we've been looking at the third part for the series on the last, this is our fourth week already. And by the way, you can go to spectrumchurch.org and listen to any of the teachings that you haven't, or maybe you missed, they're online. But we haven't concentrated on the first or the second thought. The first thought there is, you know, I will show you where to go. I will show you where to go. We haven't concentrated on that. But listen to me, if you're struggling with direction this morning, God says, I'll show you. I'll give you direction for your life. If you don't know exactly what you're to do, if you don't exactly know where to go to school, if you don't exactly know what career path you're to get on, God says, I will show you. You need to spend time just allowing the Spirit of God to talk to you. And can I just encourage you, when you're reading the Word, let me just kind of take a time out. We'll talk about the Word of God all day. But when you're reading the Word, you start hearing God's voice because God's Word is God's voice. And so people say to me all the time, I can't hear God. I don't know how to hear God. Well, number one, I say, are you reading the Word? Because if you're not reading the Word, you'll never hear the voice of God. So the Word of God is the will of God, is the counsel of God, reveals the character of God, reveals the thoughts of God. And so you begin hearing God by reading the Word, number one. And so he says here, I will show you where to go. And so that's a word for some of you today. I don't know exactly what to do in my life. I feel like I'm spinning, you know, my tires. I'm directionless. He says, I will show you where to go. And the second thing, we haven't talked about, but is relevant today as we're here. He says, I will make you into something you're not. And so listen, if you're struggling with identity, I'll make you to who you're called to be. I'll make you the way I've called you, your purpose, the plan that I've got for your life. That's what I want you to do. That's what I want you to discover. And it is a discovery. Just like many of us that are my age or maybe a little bit older, a little bit younger, if you've got kids and they're going off to college and starting to go to college, it's so interesting is what kids think that they're going to be doing early on. Most of the times isn't what they're going to be doing later on. Their majors change. They start finding out, oh, that's not exactly what I want to do. And you start, again, the spiritual side is you start figuring out, what's God made me to do? What's God made me to be? He'll make you into something you currently aren't if you'll reach out to Him and draw near to Him. Well, we've been finding out this thing that he said, number three, I'll bless you. I'll bless you to be a blessing. That's what he tells them to do. Before you're a blessing, you got to be blessed. It's very interesting. That's the reason, by the way, why you can give and tithe and give offerings and support the poor and give to missionaries. Why? Because you're blessed. I don't feel like it. I don't look like it. It doesn't make a difference. I'm blessed. How do you know that? God said it. So if God said it, I wrap my head around it, and I've got enough for me and my family. So I'm blessed to be a blessing. That's just too simple. God's pretty simple. God's pretty simple. So we found out that we connect ourselves to Abraham, this guy called Abraham, through this lineage of this person called Jesus Christ. what God did to Abraham, God's going to do exactly to you. So we find ourselves connected because the Bible calls this man the father of faith. So again, by way of reminder, we see this scripture in Galatians 3:29, and here's what it says. It says, if you belong to Christ, in other words, if you're born again, you gave your heart to Jesus, you have become the true children of Abraham. What God promised to him is now yours. So whatever God promised to him belongs to you. It belongs to you. So it's not just, well, that's Abraham and that's his thing. And God said, I'm going to show you, I'm going to make you, I'm going to bless you. And I've got nothing to do with that in my life. On the contrary, you have everything to do with that because of Jesus Christ. The minute you make him Lord of your life, you can track your life back and say, God, if you did it for him, he was an imperfect guy. He sinned. He did some crazy stuff in his life. But God continually worked in his life. Can I get a woo-woo amen up in the house here this morning or something? Okay, raise the roof, whatever you want to do. So we've been finding out a couple things on Sunday morning is that this blessing is number one, spiritual. Here's what we found out last week and a couple weeks before. The blessing is spiritual. It works intangibly. In other words, God's promises aren't revealed to your senses. This is how God works. God requires you to believe something before you see something. He expects that. It's called faith. This ingredient called faith. You're never going to get away from it. Never going to get away from it. You got to believe you're born again when you don't feel like you're born again. You got to believe the power of love will work in you. You've got to believe that you can forgive that ugly person, that nasty person, when it doesn't look like they don't like you. They're cursing you still. You can forgive them. You can walk in the spiritual blessings and stay on the God side of the equation. Yes, you can. You can do it. The blessing is spiritual. It works intangibly. I don't feel good this morning. Who cares how you feel this morning? I can still get out of bed and serve and worship God. We said number two, and here's where we're going to come this morning. So I'll read you number two and number three, and we'll come back to number two. We said number two, this blessing, because again, we find it in Abraham's life. This blessing is physical. It's physical. It'll work in your body. It'll bring healing. It'll bring mending in your body. It'll bring recovery to your body. Why do you say that? Because a 99-year-old man or a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman had a baby, and it was impossible. 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 Come on. Come on. No fertilization thing. No adoption here now. God did something in their bodies. It's part of this thing called the blessing. And thirdly, we'll talk about this next week. This blessing is material. It's material. It works in the earth with abundance, provision, and favor. It works in the earth. We'll talk about this next week. So let's talk about the second thing, the second ingredient that we've been finding out about this thing called the blessing. The blessing is physical. It's physical. It's going to work in your body. It's going to produce health. It's going to produce healing. It's going to produce deliverance in your body. The blessing will. Because it did it for your protege. It did it for your father. And since I'm born again, what he did with Abraham, he's going to do in me. The very same thing. The very same thing. Now, here's an amazing scripture. If you don't know it, you need to just look at it on the screen, write it down, and study it. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, it's really called the Heroes of Faith. It lists all these men and all these women that did these amazing feats, and it says, quote, by faith. By faith they did them. Well, here's one of them that talks about Sarah, Abraham's wife, and talks about him in Hebrews 11, 11 and 12. Here's what it says. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead were born as many as the stars in the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Amazing. It says this woman, she received strength to conceive seed. She said her body was shut down. One translation says this, that's really kind of shocking, as graphic as it is. It says, the bodies of both were like dead carcasses. Tells you what it means in the original language. Their bodies shut down. Impossible to have a child. Impossible. But notice again what it says. She received strength to conceive seed. She received strength to conceive seed. And then she bore a child. Now, I've been around with Pastor Kimberly, you know, four times. She had three miscarriages, so I've been around while the body's changing. And I've been in that labor and delivery room four times when that baby's coming out. And she was, she was 34 or 36, I guess 36 at her last child, 26 or so at the first one coming, and 36 at the last one coming. And let me tell you, the last one didn't want to come out. And that body, as even a young woman, getting that baby out, bore a child, there was some strength that was needed. Now think about a 90-year-old woman. Come on, ladies. All the ladies are going like this now. All the men are going, "Whoa, what's the problem?" Yeah, huh? Yeah. She received strength to conceive a child, but not only strength to conceive it, strength to bring that bad boy forth. Come on, somebody. Wow. So notice on the screen, healing. We're going to talk about healing today. This thing's working in your body. The blessing will work in your body. Healing requires spiritual strength. Strength to conceive. Strength to conceive. Strength. I need strength. Hear me. The strength, just look on the screen. The strength she needed was physical. The strength you need is spiritual. 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 Being strong in your body, being able to lift weights and be able to run a marathon, doesn't mean you'll be healed. So you don't need physical strength to stay strong. You need, and I need, spiritual strength to stay strong. Because I know guys, and you know guys and gals, you go, "How did they die? Look at the shape they were in. How did they do it? They were..." So it's not the outside, but something's happening on the inside. And so I just would encourage you, if you'll work more on the inside than you do the outside, you'll start seeing stuff happening in your physical body. All right? Spiritual strength, notice on the screen. So we could say this, spiritual strength equals believing. Equals believing. Believing what? Believing that as a 90-year-old man, or 90-year-old woman, 100-year-old man, I can still have a child. I can have a child. Wrap your head around that. Because this guy didn't have a club, he didn't have a Bible, he didn't have a church. He wasn't listening to K-Love on the radio. Come on, somebody. Come on. He didn't have Christian TV. There weren't people blowing up his Facebook. "Hey, Abe, I'm with you, brother. You're 94. Thumbs up. Give you a like. You can have a baby." There wasn't none of that going on. So age didn't matter. Age didn't matter. What happened in the past didn't matter. How long it took didn't matter. But it does say this. Notice what it says. It says that she judged him faithful. So let me encourage you. This is a key for you and I walking in health. Judge or count God as faithful. Count him as faithful. And what this is telling you and I is to rely on God's character. Rely on his character. He can be trusted. He won't trick you. He's not trying to manipulate you. You can rely on his character. So the key for you and me is getting to know him. How are you going to get to know God? How? Come on. You're like talking la-la land here. How am I going to get to know God? We get to know God through his word. His word reveals who he is and what he's done. And listen to me. Who he is will never change. And what he's done, he'll do it for you and me. It makes no difference. Again, because we find a scripture that says God is no respecter of persons. Can I tell you what he respects? He respects one thing and one thing only. Not age, not race, not ethnicity, not how long you've been saved. You don't get healed because I've been a Christian, God, for 25 years. And God, you know I served you. And God, you know I gave money in the offering. You don't get healed by all that. The only way you get healed is by faith. Don't feel anything. Don't look anything. Everything's lying to me up in here. I got a negative report. But I choose to believe part of this blessing that you gave to Abraham is working for me, and it's working in my physical body. Can anybody just say amen to that? So when you do that, when you realize that the blessing of the Lord will change not only your spiritual life, not only cause you to walk in newness of life and thinking different on the earth and have a place called heaven when you leave, which is amazing. I mean, that's incredible. But God wants you whole in your body while you're on the earth. And part of this thing called the blessing will do that for you. Now let's take it another couple steps further here. Deuteronomy chapter 30. You got a Bible there? You got your phone out or something? Look at this. Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. Let me read you this. Now listen, Moses is talking to the whole nation of Israel, and he's talking, he's getting this word from God, and he's telling everybody, this isn't for a select few, this is for everybody. Notice what he says. Listen today. Today I'm giving you a choice between life and death, between blessing and disaster. Now that's almost crazy to look at that scripture. I'm giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster, and it, really a choice? Who's choosing death? Who's choosing disaster? Who would be doing that? Why would anybody choose that? Or could anybody choose that? And again, the answer is yes. You can choose it by negligence. You can choose it because you don't agree with God. I can do the very same. So he says, I'm setting this before you. Now think about that. I'm setting it before you, and whatever you choose, that's your choice. Now, what's amazing about God is that if I choose this, I can choose something different. But even if I chose the right choice, by my actions and my choice, I could choose something that I didn't choose. So if you read the rest of the scriptures here in this whole connection point, here's what God says choosing life and choosing blessing looks like, or prosperity, it being well with you. Here's what it looks like. Number one, love God. He says love God. Love God. Love God the way God says love me. Love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Rely on my grace. Rely on who I am. Know me. Love me. Number two, walk in my ways. Walk in my ways. Don't be playing games with me now, God's saying. Don't live a life of hypocrisy. Walk in my ways. Doesn't mean you're not perfect. And when you mess up, and you are going to mess up, but just have your heart that's quick to come back to me. Walk in my ways. Walk in my ways. Number three, he says, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. We just say, keep the word of God. Do what I say. You know, when that person, you know, cuts you off on the freeway and flips you. Come on, can we be real up in here? Flips you and honking the horn at you. And what? Yeah, you don't get around and go evil for evil, eye for eye. You don't be doing that. You just say, God bless you. Go ahead. Why? Because you want to keep the word. You want to do what the word says. You don't want to act. You don't want to get out from under the blessing. And number three, he says, keep your heart. Number four, says, keep your heart. And what he's saying there specifically, what he's saying there to the nation of Israel is that their heart would always be drawn away to other gods and other idols and start worshiping stuff. And God said, what y'all doing worshiping a tree? I made the tree. What you doing worshiping a rock? I made the rocks. Are you crazy? So he's saying, keep your heart. Keep your heart. Let your heart be pure. Let your heart be tender. Let your heart, anything goes wrong in your life, it's like just a little touch, and I know you're talking to me. I know I got to get back on track. If I want to stay in this thing called the blessing and it working in my life. Dad Hagen, who was the founder of the Bible school I went to 30 years ago, Pastor Kimmery and I, he would say this, whenever there were any symptoms in his body of sickness and disease trying to show up in his body, the first thing he would ask himself is, am I walking in love with my wife, with my staff, my kids, the people that are closest to me? Am I walking in love with God? You might think about that. He goes on to say in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 and 20, finishes the thought. Here he says it again. It's interesting. Today, I've given you the choice, amazing, between life and death, between blessings and curses. I call heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Wow. Whatever choice I make, whatever choice you make, it's registered in heaven. Oh, that you would choose life, that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying Him, and committing yourself to Him. This is the key to your life. The key of life isn't who I know and my networking. The key to my life is that I have the greatest physician, the greatest internal specialist. The key to my life is loving God and keeping His word and walking in His ways and keeping my heart and obeying what He says. Again, life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose. I got a choice. So by choosing life, it requires you to think different, to expect different. So when symptoms and sickness and all kinds of crazy stuff tries to come to all of us, I don't immediately think, oh my God, what's happening? The pain in my head. It must be a growth. I'm not thinking the blessing. I'm thinking the curse. And if I think the curse, I'll act on the curse. And I'll choose the curse whether I realize it or not. That quick. You. Pain in the head. And it's been going on for days. And it's amazing how the devil will bring to you a friend or a relative, or you'll hear it on TV. Hey, you know, if you've had that chronic pain in your head, my friend had it, and it wind up being full-blown cancer, and they didn't know, and he died 4 months later. You've heard it, and I've heard it. So when it comes, you go, This is crazy. Come on, this is crazy. You do not know who you're messing with. Because this is crazy. Because I got a man who was 100 and who had a baby. And he had a choice to make. And he chose to believe God. And I've got a Lord who took all my sin and took all my sickness. And by His stripes I'm healed. So I choose to stay on the blessing. And I'm going to speak to the pain. I'm going to speak to whatever. And it's got to go. Got a choice. Right? Got a choice. What you going to choose? These guys decided to stay on the God side when their carcass was dead. Keep reading Deuteronomy. Here's another scripture. Look at this. Deuteronomy 32:46. Take to heart all the words of warning I'm giving you today. Notice this, the words of warning. Words of warning. Better pay attention. Pass them on as a command to your children so they'll obey every word of these instructions. These instructions are not empty words. They are your life. By obeying them, you will enjoy a long life in the land you will occupy. You will enjoy a long life. Come on, obey. A long life. Come on, you don't have to be 57 like Prince and die. I'm sorry. God bless Prince. Amazing. You don't have to be young like Whitney and die. You don't have to be young like Michael and die. You don't have to be young like Kurt Cobain and die. You do not. You can live long. Yeah, you can. He tells me exactly what to do. Gary, love God. Gary, walk in my ways. Gary, just keep my word. Gary, don't let anything take your heart away. Don't let anything take your heart away. When I'm talking to you, I'm talking to you personally. What they do, don't. That's not you. This is you right here. You obey me. You obey me up in here. And if you do that, you're going to have the blessing of physical strength in your life, because that's the choice you're making. So in choosing this, here's a couple things just noteworthy I think we need to look at. Is number one, to walk in the life and the blessing, you're going to need, number one, understanding. And that just simply means knowledge. You're not going to walk it unless you know about it. So that deals with your mind, your will, your emotions. It needs to be renewed. It needs to be renewed with the Word of God. So, again, this is why we say all the time, read the Word. Read the Word. The Word of God is going to reveal the heart of God. It's going to reveal the nature of God. It's going to reveal the plan of God for your life. So to walk in life and walk in blessing, you got to have some understanding. And then number two is the word obedience. Obedience. And that involves my will. That deals with my heart. That I see it, and so I got to say, Lord, this is what you say. And so I got to wrap my head around what you say, and I have to act on what you say. I can know what to do and never do it. You know that? And that's what's so, I hate that. I can know the right thing and do the wrong thing. And so I got to know it, then I got to get my head wrapped around it, my heart wrapped around it, to actually obey it. Someone said this, that you cannot claim a promise from God, from God's word, you're unsure he's willing to give. You just can't claim it. If you don't know he's willing to give this to you, you can't claim it as yourself. So that's why the power of reading the word of God is so important. You need to read the word of God and say, God, if that's what you said, if that's what you did for them, you're going to do it for me as well. When you got born again, or if you haven't been born again, God's ready for you to make the plunge today. Just simply saying, I repent, I changed my mind, changed my direction. I believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord. If you do it and pray that, you can do it in your seat right there this morning while I'm talking. The minute you do that, you're born again. This word salvation is so rich in meaning. Here, look what it says on the screen. This is the definition of salvation. It means safety. It means healing. It means preservation. It means protection. It means deliverance. It means peace. All this is wrapped up in this word called salvation. So the minute you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, look at that second definition. It means healing is available to you. It is your blessing. Can I encourage you? Fight for what belongs to you. Fight for it. Come on, fight for it. And you have to fight, as the scripture says, the good fight of faith. That's the fight you're in, the good fight of faith. Let me read you a story. There's a guy named George Mueller. Maybe some of you have heard him. He was from Bristol, England, way back in the late 1800s. He got saved in his early 20s and obeyed God's call by living a life of faith and obedience. He and his wife sold all their earthly possessions and found an orphanage of over 1,000 kids and lived by faith alone, making their needs and the needs of the orphans only known to God in prayer. Now, this is the day before welfare. This is the day before social services. And they had 1,000 kids that they were feeding every day. And they didn't tell nobody about their need. And they would just get those kids around and say, let's pray. And all of a sudden, food would show up at the front. Incredible. Money would come in to buy them clothes and take care of them and educate them. It was incredible. In 1877, this man, George Mueller, boarded a ship that was stalled off the coast of Newfoundland, Canada, in dense fog. The captain had been on the bridge for 24 hours, and Mueller then came to see him. Mueller told the captain, I got to be in Quebec, Canada, by Saturday afternoon. And the captain said, it's impossible. Very well, said Mueller. If your ship can't take me there, God will find some other way. I've never broken a speaking engagement for 52 years. He said, let's go down to the chart room and pray, captain. So the captain wondered what kind of lunatic man this was. And they came down there, and the captain said, do you know how dense the fog is? And Mueller said, no, my eye is not on the density of the fog, but on the living God who controls every circumstance of my life. Mueller knelt down to pray, and when he finished praying, the captain was about to pray. This is hilarious. But Mueller put his hand on his shoulder and said, don't pray. He said, first, you do not believe God will. And so why are you going to pray? Because most people pray religiously. And he says, second, I believe he has heard me. So there's no need for you to pray about it, whatever. And the captain just looked at him like. Then he said this. I've known the Lord for 52 years. There's not a single day that I've failed to get an audience with the King. Get up, Captain. Open the door. the fog is gone. The captain went out, opened the door, and the fog had completely lifted. This is this ingredient, guys, called faith. You believe something before you see something. You have something while it still looks like nothing's going on. You're never, ever going to get away from this thing called faith. And so the blessing in your physical body is going to work with this ingredient called faith. We said last week, faith comes from hearing, hearing by the word of God. We said last week that everyone's given the measure of faith when you're born again. We said your faith can grow mightily, can grow, can increase. Regardless, again, what's coming against you, what looks impossible to you, you have an example of a 90-year-old woman and a 100-year-old man who were dead physically but brought forth a child. And the Bible says that same promise belongs to you. That blessing will work physically in your body. Let me give you some faith-building healing scriptures this morning. Notice on the screen. Matthew 8:16-17. When evening had come, they brought to Jesus many who were demon-possessed. He cast out all the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Healed all. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took, removed, lifted, and carried our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Jesus showed us what God would do, since he was God, what God would do if he were alive on the earth. Jesus, as God, demonstrated the heart of God. He lifted, removed, carried, bore all our sicknesses. It says in the book of Exodus, chapter 15, verse 26, it says, I am the Lord who heals you. I'm the Lord who heals you. This blessing of healing belongs to everybody. Look at these different translations. I, the Lord, am your healer. I, the Lord, am your physician. I, the Lord, am your life giver. I, Jehovah, am healing thee. I, the Lord, make you immune to them diseases. I, the Lord, will bring thee only health. I'm your healer. I'm your physician. I'm your life giver. I'm healing you right now. I'm making you immune. I'm going to bring you only health. I thought God was testing me. I thought God was challenging me. That's what I heard, you know, and so that's why I got this thing. It's my cross to bear. I, the Lord, will only bring you health. I've never had a good sick day. I've never visited anybody in the hospital and go, man, this cancer is amazing. It's eating away my body. It's caused me, that was 215 pounds. I'm down to 140. I'm so close to Jesus. I can't breathe. My lungs are collapsing. I'm filling up with air. I can hardly think. My mind's going crazy. Oh, praise God. Thank you for this cancer. That is crazy. That is the curse in motion. And you are required to realize the life of God has been given, to choose to stand against that, to say, that's not part of the blessing of God. And I can point to thousands and thousands as you can, who you have questions about, as do I. But when you realize I cannot control what anybody chooses but me. Come on, somebody say, I'm choosing the blessing. Come on, say that. I'm choosing the blessing. I'm choosing the blessing. I'm choosing life. That's what I'm choosing life. I'm choosing life. Come on, go live a long life. Come on, right? Go live a long life. Go live a long life. Come on, go live a long life. Come on, go live a long life, right? Go live a long life. So come on, you can't eat tacos every day if you're going to live a long life. Uh-oh, now I'm gone meddling. Come on, help me, Jesus. Oh, help me. You might have to drink some green juice every now and again. Oh, now it's getting bad. Okay. Matthew 4:23-24. Look at this now. Jesus traveled throughout Galilee, teaching the synagogues, preaching the kingdom of God and the good news everywhere. He healed people who had every kind of disease and sickness. Every kind of sickness and disease, he healed them. Does anybody at random, we haven't got the scripture for you, so this is pop quiz. Does anybody know what Hebrews 13:8 says? I'll give you. Jesus Christ is the same. What? Yesterday, today, and forever. Come on, say that with me. Jesus Christ is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Come on, this is like children's church. Come on, we're going to give you a scripture to take home with you. Come on, Hebrews 13:8. Come on, say it with me. Jesus Christ is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. So if he healed yesterday, he's the same. He's healing today. And if he's healing today, he'll heal forever. Come on, everybody. Choose. I make that choice. That's a choice I make. That's a choice I make. So I'm gonna love God. I'm gonna keep the word. I'm going to walk in his ways, and keep my heart. I'm gonna keep my heart. I'm gonna be tender. I'm just gonna keep tender. Let's just talk real quick. We're winding down. Just 5-6 more minutes. Then we're gonna do. Is we're going to pray for a lot of you that if you need a miracle. Man, we had lots of people we prayed for in the first service, and I would say the same here. If you need a miracle in your body, we'll pray and believe God today that the power of God begins working in your body and changing and altering, suspending things. If you need healing in your body, the Bible says we'll lay hands on the sick. Jesus said, they'll recover. They'll recover. Sure they will. 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 When you go to the doctor and you get the prescription and it says take 3 times a day, you're taking that thing religiously because you believe he gave you the best medicine to rid you of your problem. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But what do you deal with when there's no medicine to help your problem? Or you've been dealing with stuff forever. There's a better way. There's a better way. Come on, there's a better way. There's a cheaper way. Come on, there's a cheaper way. Come on, I got a $40 copay right now. Come on, I hate that. You go to the doctor, $40. What? I don't like that. You got a better way. Moses, it says in Deuteronomy 34:7. Check out this, brother. It says Moses was 120 years old. When he died, his eyesight was sharp, and he still walked with a spring in his step. Come on, somebody. Come on. Still a little spunky. Come on. At 120, still could see, still had good vision. How about this guy named Caleb, who was with Joshua, who was fighting with Joshua, you know, fighting, not fighting against him, but fighting with him against the enemies. They'd been brothers, if you will, and all the going through the wilderness for 40 years and all that whole nonsense. At the end of that, when they came to the land of promise, Caleb begins and talks to his brother, Joshua, and here's what he says. Now, as you see, the Lord has kept me alive and well, as he promised these 45 years, since Moses made his promise, even while Israel wandered in the wilderness. Today, I'm 85 years old. I am as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey. And I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. So give me the hill country that the Lord promised me. You'll remember that as scouts, we found the descendants of Anak. This is a giant. Y'all remember the story. Living there in great walled towns. But if the Lord's with me, I'll drive him out of the land. Wait, listen to me. Can I tell you? This 85-year-old man is saying, I still got some lead in the pencil. If you know what I mean. I can still fight. I can still fight. I'm strong now. Yeah, gray hair. Yeah, skin's a little saggy. But I can fight and I can travel and I'm going to take my inheritance. Whew. Look what he says, the last four words there. So Joshua blessed him. Caleb, is that what you choose? That's what I choose. Then I bless you. I empower you to prosper. Go kick giant booty. Go drive him out. Go get your inheritance. Be strong. Be courageous. Do what God's called you to do at 85. At 85. 85. 85. At 85. At 85. At 85. 85. He's 85. How'd he do it? He says here and gives you a clue. He talks about the promise God made to them. The promise was hinged on God's word. And Caleb remembers the character of God, that if he said it, I don't care how old I am, that promise is still in effect. I was supposed to go in this land when I was 45. And it took us 40 years of wandering. It wasn't my fault. If you read the story, he believed. But what the nation of Israel chose, he got swept up into it. If you read the plan of God there. And he says at the end of it, I'm strong now. Give me what you promised me back then. Some of y'all need to shout about that and think about that right now. Because you've let some stuff die. Some of you let some stuff die. Let some stuff go. Well, you know, I'm just getting old. And so, you know, the body's just kind of, and it's just a natural course of things.
Whoa.
You believe in the curse, brother. You're not believing the blessing. Believe the blessing of God. God has got this available and is available for whosoever believes. Do I got any believers in the room today? I know I do. Come on, bow your head. Father God, this morning we thank you for the blessing of physical health and physical strength. Father God, today we just release the healing power of God to be manifest in this room. People that are needing miracles today, miracles are going to be performed in their physical bodies. Things that have been long-standing, things that have been chronic, things that have been painful for years, things that have been in their family lines. There's going to be, I just sense this. Wow. Just listen. If somebody, I don't know if this was for this service or the second service. So just while your head's bowed, just has somebody got a DNA report? There's something about DNA. I don't know if it's a report. I don't know if it's just something that I'm picking up in the spirit for somebody. But is there anybody, just with your eyes closed, just give everyone the right to privacy, because this might be a very touchy issue and a sensitive issue for somebody. We want to honor you. I just don't know. I just want to know if I'm on track with this. That you've got a DNA. There's something about DNA, and it's something contrary. Anybody in the room, you got a report? You just said, I've heard something. I've been to the doctor. Man, I was picking this up at the end of the last service, and so maybe I missed it, and maybe it was for that service. Okay. Keep your head bowed. Father God, we thank you as we're going to lay hands on people that need healing in just the next couple seconds. Father, that your power is going to be made available. This power is going to work in their physical body. This blessing is going to bring health. It's going to bring healing. It's going to mend things. It's going to restore things. We are going to, and we have been, receiving spiritual truths. They're going to work in our physical bodies. It's going to work. It doesn't matter how long it's gone on. It doesn't matter what the report's been. We count you faithful. We rely on your character. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're connected with this man and this woman. We're connected with Abraham. That what God promised to him, it's now available to us. And we receive it. And we're going to walk in it. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Here's what we're going to do. We're going to stand in just the next 45 seconds. And you that need healing, you say, hey, that's me. We're going to have you come up here, stand. I'm going to do exactly what I know to do, which is to lay hands on you. What the scripture says, they lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We're going to believe God that there's the power of God that's manifest, whether you feel it or not. Some of you will feel the power of God. You're just, ooh, something's going on. You sense it. You feel it. Others, you might not. It doesn't make a difference. Whatever happens, happens. Amen? No pressure. There's no pressure. You're just simply saying, I receive the blessing of healing. I choose the blessing. I would choose it working in my body today. Amen? Why don't you stand up, everybody? On the way out, you that have children that desire to be dedicated, why don't you go out there and sign up there at the event center. Ladies, there's a great meeting coming up in May. You're going to go out there to the kiosk and see what's going on out there. And remember, hey, we'd love to have you. I want to encourage you. Come out on Wednesday night, or last Wednesday. We meet the last Wednesday night. It's the only time we get together during the midweek besides our circles. So set aside the time to come out and join with us this Wednesday. I believe I got a word in my heart burning, and we're going to have great praise and worship. And we just preach, pray, prophesy. It's a little different flow service on a Wednesday night. So I want to encourage you to come, hour, 15 minutes or so. We believe it'll be impactful for you and your children as well. So praise God. We love you. We dismiss you. We release you to the will of God. Bring someone to church with you next week. Going to talk about the blessing in the material realm and how God can provide for you and your needs can be met in abundance. Amen. But if you need healing, come on up here right now. We're going to pray for you.